Christopher Delgado from the World Bank. Dr. Delgado joined the World Bank in April 2006 as strategy and policy advisor in the Agriculture and Rural Development Department. He also task manages the bank's $2 billion Global Food Crisis Response Program. He came to the bank from nearly 27 years at the International Food Policy Research Institute, and also held for 11 years a part-time external faculty appointment at the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies. He has worked extensively in Africa and Asia and holds a PhD in economics from Cornell and is the author of many books and many publications.
Thank you very much. Thanks to McGill for this invitation. Merci à McGill pour cette invitation. And I have the good fortune or misfortune to actually have two presentations today because one of my colleagues, Rob Townsend, could not be with us. And it's appropriate because this presentation, I'm sorry, this is the wrong one. This is this afternoon. This presentation, it's a World Bank Ag Action Plan, really deals with the governments in developing countries and those that work with them, their partners, have two operational problems right now. The first is that they need rapid response. They need to do something quickly. And the second is they need to turn around the supertanker, kind of an unfortunate metaphor in agriculture, but turn around the supertanker. And the way that investment in agriculture actually happens is that you have a country assistance strategy that's discussed with countries. It's 3 years in advance for most donors. And then you have a portfolio. At the World Bank, the agriculture portfolio, the part that's undisbursed for the next 3 years, I mean, it's planned to be spent, since long-term projects may have a six-year time horizon, say, but the undisbursed portfolio for the next 3 years is about $10 billion. So you've got, and this is already planned. I mean, it's already agreed, signed to, and so forth. So the question is, you have to turn the supertanker around at the same time, and this afternoon we'll talk about how to be agile, how to do something a little different from sort of the regular business as usual. Now, the World Bank has an agricultural strategy. There are 17 sectors in the World Bank. It has a matrix organization, and there's one for agriculture and rural development. However, there's also something called the WDR, 2008, some people may know, which is every year the World Bank does or hosts the production of a major sort of thought piece. These are not actually official publications of the World Bank. They can't be turned down by the board or whatever. They're independent. But the last one before this for agriculture was 1982. And the fact that this was done in 2008 was indicative of the fact that really since 2000, I think both governments and those that assist them have begun to think that agriculture was underemphasized. You know, in around 1980, the World Bank, 30% of its new annual lending every year was agriculture. And for development assistance generally, for DAC, it was about 18%. For donors as a whole, by around 2000, this fell to about 4%. For the World Bank, it fell to 7%. And it's been coming back, not so much for donors as a whole. For the bank, it's up to about 13 this year. But it's a slow change. And one of the things that sort of turning the supertanker around really requires doing is thinking about how do you operationalize the many useful strategic ideas that come out of something like WDR 2008, which was a document done with very broad consultation around the world. I mean, three-quarters of the world's poor are rural, and most are involved in farming. And it's amazing, it's very hard to get that message out, that if you want to do something about poverty, there's really nothing to do if you don't involve agriculture. You know, so we think maybe 60% of the world's farmers operate 2 hectares or less. They're not going to go away in the next 10 years. And you have to get to these people. And it's not a choice, it's a necessity if you want to do something about poverty reduction, about feeding the world, about climate change. Maybe 30% of greenhouse gases come from agriculture and forestry. Economic transformation and food and financial crises. Now, out of that, the Ag Action Plan, which is basically an internal document of the World Bank, in the sense the consultation is with the regions that deal with governments. And the demand is in 5 areas, to raise ag productivity, which we heard a bit about, markets, risk and vulnerability, I don't know if it sounds familiar. And there's the broader problem, strategically, of facilitating exit, because at the end of the day, the purpose is not to produce agricultural goods, it's to help people, and some people will need to exit. And hopefully they stay in rural areas, but they do other things too. And how to enhance environmental services and sustainability. Now, I have too many slides for my time, so I'm going to be selective and just take 2 or 3 of the sort of candy-type ones. This is what I call a candy slide, because we all know that we have to get yields up. Marco had that wonderful slide showing the long-term decline from about 3% to 1% annual growth rate of yields. One of the things in Africa in particular is how large the yield gap is between sort of best practice or experiment station activity and what the farm averages are. I mean, that does also reinforce Marco's point about extension. There is a need to irrigation. Really, the share of land that could be irrigated that's not is really very high. In Africa in particular, only 4% of arable land is irrigated. Now, some of it can never be irrigated, but still, there's a lot more that can be done. It's just the will has to be there. Tenure security. Now that there's money back in agriculture in some areas, land administration is terribly important. And there are tremendous productivity gains. You see a 60% productivity gain in China from forms of securing land. And generally, developing countries invest as a whole, and this has been a long-term trend, a relatively small share of ag GDP is reinvested in agriculture, unlike developed countries. Now, if this slide were broken down, you'd find that countries like Brazil, India, and China are the exception. The ones that do well have put a lot into agriculture. That's actually one reason they did well. It's a very important reason they did well. And the ones that didn't fell behind. The people who have the most at stake for a successful conclusion of the Doha round are the developing country ag exporters. I like this slide. This is a piece of candy also. It's from one district in India, but it shows the sort of the variability of prices for fish in coastal markets. I mean, fish are a particularly volatile commodity. And you see the impact of adding mobile phone service on the volatility of prices. Information has a value. Producer organizations are critical to basically securing a larger share of the pie for producers, collective action, and increasing access to finance. This just happens to be the percentage share of World Bank efforts. I don't really have time to go into it, but into different areas. And this we'll get into this afternoon on what you could do short term to sort of be more agile. There are different kinds of instruments and areas. Reducing risk and vulnerability is becoming a bigger and bigger issue, as some of this happens to be for the Middle East and North Africa, as more and more of basic foods are imported in some parts of the world. And someone mentioned it's actually more like 30% of maize for ethanol now, since this slide was first made. And, you know, you've got a lot of excess liquidity floating around in the world, a couple of $1 trillion here or there. I mean, you know, as you add trillions, you're talking about real money. And that as agriculture has been treated like other commodities are much more volatile than grains. So if you tie up ag futures into futures for petroleum or metals, you start getting eventually increased volatility in spot markets for agricultural commodities. That's actually, I don't think anyone knows, but if I had to make a guess, my personal choice would be that that's more of a factor in the price volatility than biofuels or anything else. And grain reserves are low because we don't keep them. We don't keep them for the same reasons we used to in many parts of the world, including the developing world. Insurance innovations are critical. And in this day of sort of large-scale foreign investments in land, particularly in Africa, really the land markets are important, but so are codes of conduct and so are safety nets. One of the things that's critical for really facilitating the entry and exit of people is that most rural businesses sell locally in developing countries, and most rural people consume locally. So that there are very few things that if you're talking about most of sub-Saharan Africa, if things that can be sold outside the local area are almost always agricultural, not always, but very often agricultural, and that's the receipts from those sales are widely spread because there are a lot of small farmers. So you have lots of small packets of income coming into the local area and being spent in the local area. And many studies show that for every dollar of agricultural income, additional income, you not only get that direct effect, but you get an additional dollar or more of non-agricultural income. So in these kinds of societies, agriculture is really the driving force for overall development. I mean, certainly upgrading skills is rural people usually get less education, and that's a vital thing. The other thing is in territorial. We're talking more and more about spatial, and basically the farther you get, what this shows is that in Mexico, the farther you get from cities, the slower the rate of growth of manufacturing employment, no great surprise. But that's also true of livestock here in Thailand, chickens, that you have, again, concentrations in the peri-urban area. And when you get into high-value commodities, whether it's chicken or fruits and vegetables and so forth, these are critical things for managing both the environment and employment in areas where the opportunity cost of natural resources are going up, that is, in the peri-urban areas. And these are critical tools that have to be invested in. Climate change. Now, as I said, agriculture is intimately related to issues of climate change. We'll talk more about that in a future session. But the various kinds of markets that are tied up with influencing behavior of farmers and how farmers contribute back either as a solution or a problem are critical. And the same thing I should say for aquaculture. Now, I'll just finish up as quickly as I can. There are different worlds. I mean, one of the great gimmicks of WDR 2008 is that it breaks the developed countries down into three groups, the agriculturally based, the transforming, and the urbanized, depending on where they fall in the between agriculture's share of contribution to growth and the percentage of poor that are rural. And what you actually do from these five different pillars, you know, increasing productivity, mitigating risk, et cetera, really depends, probably would depend on where you fall in that spectrum. Now, I mentioned that the existing portfolio, this is just for the World Bank, but you can see most of it's, you've got 37% in irrigation, basically 15% in research and extension. And little bits, the little bits spread all over. And in fact, if you wanted to do a criticism, you'd say that in a demand-driven organization where the funding basically comes from they go from donors to ministries of finance. Ministries of finance then request specific kinds of projects. The strategic problem is that you're spread all over the map, which also is another issue when you want to be agile and you need to do everything at once. As we look forward, I think the intention, again, it depends on the country client, but to try to really concentrate on productivity, markets, and reducing vulnerability. Those are probably the three areas. Here's the dollar amounts. This is on billions of U.S. dollars. And you see it divided between IDA, the concessional part of World Bank lending, IBRD, the basically commercial part, and IFC. IFC is the dark lower bar for the actual time period shown there. You'll see there's been a tremendous expansion of private sector borrowing for agribusiness in developing countries. Not so much in Africa right now, primarily Latin America and to a lesser extent Asia. But in Africa, it's starting, and they're certainly getting some supply push there. We have been asked to project our projection at ARD for the bank lending, which again depends on what country directors and ministers of finance want. But at a minimum, it would be $6.2 billion for each of fiscal 10. Fiscal year goes from June to July. To about 8. Well, this in FY09, we're already 6.4, so I think this is quite conservative. We're going to be closer to the 8. And the breakdown of the lending is shown here between the different parts of the World Bank. World Bank is actually 5 institutions, but most of it is IDA, World Bank, IBRD, and IFC. Thank you.